Hi, welcome back to SaaS Radio. I'm Matt, your host, and today I'm joined by another Matt and Brendan, both from the Fig team. Thank you for joining, guys.
How are you? Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, doing well. Super excited about what you guys are building. It's very uncommon to see something trying to basically take Terminal in a new direction. So I wanted to chat about what was your original idea behind Fig?
So our original idea actually was not Fig at all. Matt and I applied to YC. We were in college at the time, so this was October 2019. We applied to YC with one idea. We interviewed with a different idea. And then the day after we got into YC, our partner said, hey, listen, we like you guys, but we think the idea could use a little work. And it started this sort of route of pivots, essentially, where we just kept spinning up the same Postgres server on our local device, on our local machines, like running through the same Medium article to
Set up Heroku or provision something on AWS.
And we'd be doing the same thing. Sometimes we'd just stop working and be like, what do you mean an environment variable is missing? What do you mean? Like, I did this 2 weeks ago and now what's going on? And so what we really quickly realized, and this is one thing YC really drilled into us, is like focus on problems. And so we just, as we were coming up with these ideas, we just thought, wait a minute, the terminal is such a big problem for us. Like, we weren't classically trained on this. It's crazy that this tool hasn't changed in 40, 45 years, and we have to use it every time we want to spin up a new project. Like, what can we do to make this easier? And that's where the idea for Fig came from. Matt came up with a name, configuration, Fig, something short and easy that can be a CLI tool. How can we make it easy to set up our local configurations in the terminal?
Okay, I love that on the name. That's really clever. So yeah. What was your biggest complaint with Terminal as you were using it, the problems you kept hitting over and over? Basically, what did that boil down to?
Well, so again, I think that what's remarkable about the Terminal is how old it is. It is just a kind of the very foundations of computing. That's the interface you had. And early on, it was a necessity. It's like computers were slow. Like, we didn't have, you know, the gigabytes of RAM that we do now. And so, you know, the text-only interface was there because there wasn't anything else. But so, like, we've kind of inherited that as programmers. Like, that's kind of where all of the developer tools exist. You know, you have Git, you have all of these Unix things. And so there's just a bunch of infrastructure that assumes that this is sort of the standard interface, which is great, which means, like, it's very customizable. Everyone has, like, their own little workflow. You can really make it whatever you want. But the problem is, like, when you're getting started with the terminal, it is this black box. Like, literally, you open the app and it is just like a blank screen. And that's, like, not a super friendly environment for new engineers, or even if, like, you kind of are a programmer, but, like, you're more on the front end side and you just, like, you don't really want to be mucking around in the terminal. You want to be coding. You want to be building the thing that you're working on. And then, you know, getting stuck in bash RC files and, you know, figuring out what path has your executable. Like, that's just not what you want to be handling. You want to be, you know, solving business problems or solving application problems. And so this was kind of where we started, like, figuring out, okay, how do we just get people to you know, discover the things that they want to do in the terminal as fast as possible. So, like, if you're using CD, you know, we know what you're going to be typing next. You're going to be typing a directory. You're going to be typing, you know, navigating around. Same with Git. You know, there's a finite number of things that come after Git, and it's like Git commit, Git status, Git push, Git pull. And so just making these things a little bit more discoverable for people, and also just speeding up the existing workflows that people have was kind of where we settled as, like, let's come in and just improve the terminal again, incrementally, with the idea that we can go and extend this in a lot of different directions.
So in some ways, Terminal has for decades had a bit of autocomplete, right? You start typing what you want, you hit tab, and if you're lucky, you finish the word you were typing out. Or you type ls and you get everything in the directory, or you double tab and you get a list of all the available commands. So it feels like, to a certain degree, right, the fuzzy search is a descendant of that. But what generally makes this sort of command palette style of searching work better?
So if you look at tools like IntelliSense and VS Code, that's really what we're modeling this on. So yes, the shell, like Bash, C shell, and Fish have their own implementations of autocomplete. One of the hard things is Bash is not the most forgiving language. And if you want to build autocomplete in it, it is imperative. And what we're doing is declarative. So imperative meaning like you take this input string and you have to run a whole bunch of functions to actually work out like what the final output is. Whereas with what we're doing with figures, our sort of unique insight here is what if we just made it so easy to build these autocomplete specs? Then it becomes easier to, like, you, people want to invest more time to make it really, really good. So for example, like Git. Git has actually pretty good autocomplete in the terminal, Bash and Z Shell. If you hit tab, like it is probably one of the most widely used, if not the most widely used CLI tool, but like only Git and only these massive, massive CLI tools have somewhat good autocomplete, and it just leaves all of these other ones behind. And we thought, well, that's sort of crazy. And the craziest thing is those tools do have goodish autocomplete, but still a lot of people just don't even know how to use it. A lot of people forget that the tab is there. And so with Fig, we think like autocomplete can be there in the same way it is in Google, it is in Gmail, it is in VS Code. It can be up there in your, like, in your environment, and you can use it if you want to, but you don't have to use it. It is like, if you know exactly what you're doing, keep going. And if you want Fig to help, like, we can be there holding your hand as much as you need. And just quickly on like what we're doing with the declarative syntax, it is like, we think it makes sense that, all right, every CLI tool has a list of subcommands and each subcommand has a list of options, and subcommands and options can have arguments. That's like a high level summary of how CLIs work. And so why don't we just have a nice tree structure that essentially represents that? And we just look at this tree structure each time you type in something into the terminal. We map what you've typed in to the tree structure, and then we render suggestions based on that. Like, literally so easy to build one of these specs, and you can immediately see the value.
So it feels like often the value of a command palette, for example, in a tool like Superhuman for a more consumer-focused product, or in something like Sublime Text for a developer-focused product, is that you're doing fuzzy searching on not just specifically the exact word of the command you need, but often on a bit of metadata or a bit of a description or something else that can help people essentially find what they're looking for, even if they don't exactly know the name of the thing they're looking for. Is that something that Fig is trying to target as well, to basically keep people from, I guess, going in the standard loop of you Google something, you go to Stack Overflow, oh, okay, that's the command, you go back to terminal and type it in.
Yeah, so this is something we're really excited about. We decided like to first focus on building kind of the dumbest implementation of autocomplete possible, just because like it doesn't exist in the terminal really. So like the first thing we did was, hey, can we get an autocomplete window to pop up with your cursor and give you just like the sort of relevant suggestions based on this completion spec. But what we think is really interesting is this idea of intents. So it's like when you use Git, you intend to do something, whether that's checking out a branch or making a commit or adding files. And if you know the CLI tool really well, you know exactly what subcommand and what flags you're going to use to do that. But if you don't know the CLI tool as well, then you kind of have an idea of what you want. And then the question is how to map between that intent and then the actual CLI command that you need to do. And so this is something we haven't built out yet, but yeah, it's basically taking kind of the idea of the command palette or the search bar, the omnibar, and just kind of bringing it into the terminal as well.
Which is super interesting how I feel like the keyboard has come back very strongly in the past few years. Obviously it never really went anywhere, but there was a bit with, especially mobile interfaces, where, okay, maybe we're going to touch and tap our way through computing. And tools like Superhuman have pulled that back and said, what if we did everything from the keyboard? We're going to do keyboard shortcuts. We're going to search through stuff. You could do everything without touching anything, without clicking anything. And you've got basically normal, more standard business users doing stuff in a way that was more, I guess, typically the way developers would have worked in the terminal, right? What do you think has led to that sort of keyboard renaissance, and why in the end keyboard commands end up winning out?
So I think one thing I've thought a lot about is Superhuman does take a sort of clunky old process, and you know, which is sending emails in something like Gmail or Outlook. And if you're a power user or a prosumer, you can suddenly be really, really fast. But at the same time, it doesn't mandate that you use its keyboard shortcuts. If you want to drop down, if you go, oh my God, what is the keyboard shortcut to delete this draft or something like that? You know what? I'm just going to click this button. At the end of the day, what they're doing is trying to make you as fast as possible. And they have an opinionated workflow, which is if you use the keyboard shortcuts, you can be fast, but it doesn't mandate it. I think that is really fascinating and sort of something we're trying to do with Fig, which is if you know exactly what you are doing in the terminal, by far, we can help you when you hit enter complete on a string that is longer than, so you can type faster essentially with Fig. But at the same time, no one knows exactly what they're doing at 24/7. It just never works like that. And being able to sort of drop into this GUI if you need it, but you can go straight back into this fast keyboard shortcut world if you want to, we actually think is really interesting. And so with Fig, we are trying to build it so it's accessible, and so we make the terminal accessible and discoverable to beginners. But if you're the power user prosumer type, then you can, you're using the terminal already, and Fig can literally just be I can type faster with Fig. I can do these workflows much, much faster with Fig.
So in a sense, you're adding a GUI on top of terminal. So you could click a selection, say, instead of tapping down.
Absolutely, we have that. Obviously, we have the opinionated workflow. We have the opinion that using a keyboard is much faster. But yeah, you could literally click through if you wanted.
And some of the early, so autocomplete is the product we're focused on right now. But essentially what Fig is under the hood is just like a set of APIs that we have built for creating experiences and tools and extensions for the terminal. So some of the earlier things that we did were basically creating kind of GUI apps that floated next to the terminal. So rather than launching Postman, for instance, if you wanted to do an HTTP request, you could type in Fig curl and it would pop up a little GUI client that would help you build.
Oh, wow.
We aren't focusing on that right now, but like that is the direction we want to go, where just anyone can kind of layer on an experience on top of the lower level tooling.
That was something I was going to ask, was about Fig apps then. So they're not essentially just a new take on a package manager like Homebrew. You're actually building sort of in-app mini apps, I guess, that would come inside of terminal or float beside, I guess, and then let you do more mouse-driven tasks from a terminal interface.
Like really what we are building at Fig is an API layer on top of your terminal. Like, and the key thing here is it's your existing terminal. So we, developers are picky about their tools. We totally get that. Keep using the tools you already use. And then Fig is this layer on top. And the API enables any developer to build an app. And so if you want to build an app that is super keyboard driven, you can do that. If you want to build an app that only uses the mouse, you can do that. And so what autocomplete is the first app that we are building using the APIs that we have actually built under the hood. Curl is another example of these apps. And essentially what the APIs let us do is see where on the screen your window is. So we integrate with the operating system. Where the hell is your iTerm window? Okay, let's now use the API to position a Fig window to the right of it that's 300 pixels wide and the same height as the existing iTerm. Mm. Another thing we can do is we can let an app run a command in the actual terminal you are using right now. So when you select an autocomplete shortcut, we insert it into the terminal. We can run background commands. So if we want to get what is the working directory of this current terminal, we run ls in this specific working directory and can list the files and folders. So what we've really built is an API, and then to build the apps, rather than coming up with some fancy new framework, we literally inject this API into a lightweight browser that we have, so essentially you can build it using web technologies and this JavaScript API, which we originally did have open, and then we have spent the last couple of months really working on and refining it, and are going to open it up back up again so anyone can build these apps.
That's very interesting. Okay, so that takes me to your final question. I was wondering, you've written about writing Fig in Swift. So what does it look like to then take Fig to other platforms, Linux and Windows, presumably in the future?
Yeah, so this was an architectural choice we made really early on to focus on Mac first with the idea that we want to build a foundation that can be ported over to other operating systems. Because we started with Mac, Swift made sense for Mac OS development. But we kind of have this division between sort of the lower level APIs and then the kind of application level stuff on top. So all of the kind of getting the working directory from a terminal, positioning the window, running shell commands, like this is stuff that's implemented in Swift. And then the Swift app exposes a JavaScript API that can be used to build autocomplete. So like autocomplete is written in JavaScript, and then in order to port it to a different platform, we just need to re-implement the sort of foundation layer. So the application logic is completely separate.
So we also, one thing we'll add is a lot of the we obviously don't want to repeat code, the classic engineer dilemma. We write as much code as we can in Bash, in scripts that can easily go cross-platform. So for instance, how do we get the text that the user currently has in their shell, like their Z shell session? We have written most of that in Z shell, using Z shell modules. So for us to go over, we don't want to have to rebuild this from scratch in Linux. We try and do as much as possible at either the shell level or the terminal level. But there are just some things that we have to do at the operating system level, like your window management, that stuff.
Which is funny, it feels like now almost the assumption is you see a new app and especially anything saying it's going to go cross-platform, and everyone just assumes you built an Electron. I think I saw a comment about that with Fig. And so by going a bit lower level, well, obviously this enables you to work with the actual terminal rather than trying to build a new terminal yourself and then be able to, I presume, work much faster, as in make your app much faster than it would be otherwise.
Much faster and also less memory consumption on the user's computer.
That's usually,
I think definitely. It was like what we're doing during YC was we were building so much stuff. We were building apps and we were building like this API, and we were just really trying to get signal. And we were in this gray area between, are we a product that's focusing on teams or are we a product that's focusing on individuals? And after YC, we sort of went back and went, we probably want to start with individuals. We want this to be an amazing experience for individuals. And so we made the choice that, okay, if we want to do a team-based product, we're probably going to have to at least be on Linux to have that really, really good. There are companies that are macOS only, but like realistically, we're going to have to get on Linux. But if we want to do a really good individual product for individuals, like let's start with macOS. A huge number of devs use macOS. It is the network we're most connected to. It's what we use. Like, let's do a really good job implementation here. And then, if it goes really well, we're going to grow our team and we're going to have people who can help with all of these other integrations. It's like the early proof of concept, and it turns out that we can actually write the code in a way that does help us eventually go cross-platform.
Awesome. Okay, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you guys so much for coming on to chat. For people listening, where's the best place to follow and keep up with what's next for Fig?
You can follow us on Twitter at withfig. And if you're interested in getting early access, you can sign up for our wait list at withfig.com.
And if you ever want to have a chat as well, withfig.com/community, it will take you straight into our Slack channel. We have a lot of people in there building apps, and we're actually doing a sort of hack night. We're calling it next Thursday. So that is, all of the completion specs we've built for autocomplete are completely open. And like, we literally want to be there to help people build completion specs for the tools that they use every day. So if you have an internal CLI that you want autocomplete for, if there's some obscure workflow with Git that we just haven't built out yet that you use every day, as we said at the start of this, it's so easy to build autocomplete with this framework we've built that we really want this to be a sort of community-driven crowdsource thing. And so we'd love for you to take part in the hack night. I think, you can join our community and find out more. So at withfig, withfig.com, withfig.com/community. The three call to actions. I think it's maybe too many call to actions.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. This has been awesome. Best of luck in building Fig.
Thanks, Matt. Great to meet you for having us.
Bye.